the actual terminus of the glacier compared to last year, it's out about 150 feet in one corner and back about 150 feet, 200 feet in another corner. So the progression hasn't changed from last year. But last year, when we were out there, it had expanded all the way across the whole bay, which it hadn't done since 1998. And then about August of last year, that third disappeared. It calved off. Well, it didn't rebuild. So literally the glacier is about two-thirds of what it was last year as far as how far across the bay it's running.
Okay. And you said you've also noticed some changes in the actual structure near the terminus?
Yeah, as you begin to compare the photos, and I've been trying to get a photographic documentation since about 98, you see the crevassing is progressing up further and further and further towards the ice field. It used to be you could look at the glacier and the background was flat ice. And now the crevassing is gone around the corner and it's actually going out towards the ice field. And the crevassing is the results of motion. And so we could look at that and say, well, maybe it's moving a little faster.
Towards the terminus.
Anyway. Towards the terminus.
And more of it's moving faster, I guess.
And more of it, yes. More of it all the way back into the field.
Did you see changes in what was actually coming off the terminus as well and what was calving?
Well, I've been involved with Breakaway Adventures all last year, and so I made about 20, 25 trips over the glacier. And, of course, we'd see these huge football stadium-sized icebergs. And I began to notice that there doesn't seem to be that much big ice. There's a lot of ice, but it seems to be smaller, which could indicate that it is fracturing more, not coming down in the big chunks that we were used to earlier.
Besides that section that had broken off last August and it stretched across the entire bay, the whole terminus itself, though, is remaining relatively stable?
Yes. Since 2000, give or take on every year, it's within 100 feet of where that terminus is. And we've been trying to get a measurement, usually the first couple of weeks of May, so we're pretty well comparing year by year by year where it's at in May.
But how did the surveying itself go for you and the students this year?
What was real bizarre, we had scheduled we tried to do it the second week of May, and Cole Roden was flying, and he said, I don't know, there's a lot of snow up there. And he took some pictures for us, and we sat down with Wally at Temsco and decided, no, we got to let some snow melt. And so we waited two more weeks until last week, Friday. And when we got there and landed, you could see a lot more snow, but it was hot. I mean, I've never been in that glacier where it's been so hot. All of the rock was just black, and it was actually warm to the touch. So it was, you know, if you're like me who likes cold weather, it was uncomfortable.
And to give people an idea, you're landing a helicopter up on the side of a rock cliff, basically.
Yes, we basically land at an elevation. There's a ledge on the north side at 1,000 feet, and on the south side, there's a ledge that's elevation's about 200 feet.
So now you take all this data, plug it in, and put it up on the website so people can check it out?
Yes, I've got to convert our hand-drawn map, which we did when we calculated the numbers, convert it to an AutoCAD map, and then I'll post it on the school's LeConte website. It's a truly amazing experience for the kids. Basically, I talk to visitors to our city all summer long. And they're just amazed that our school still does a project like this to give these kids this kind of opportunity, because some of them would volunteer, and they might be 50 years old, but this is an opportunity that is once in a lifetime. And it really, really has begun to get a kind of like, I got to land up by the glacier and do the survey. So it is really a hallmark of Petersburg.